Hello, respective viewers, it's George from Ireland. So thank you for coming back to the channel. Well, what an interview it was between Tucker Carlson and the president of Russia. So broadcast just today. Now, I've watched a lot of it. I haven't watched the 2 hours, and I've read summaries of bits that I haven't seen. So Tucker Carlson, in case you don't know, he was a white nationalist pundit on Fox News for many years, till he got sacked in April. And when he first entered the media space in the 90s, just after he left college, he was more liberal left. And really, just because he thought it was an easier way to make a name for himself, that's how he started becoming apart from white nationalist, being anti-immigrant, anti-Muslim, Islamophobic. That term is often misused, but in his case, it's not. Frankly, racist. Now, I'm a right winger, and I realize this term racist is bandied around a lot falsely, but in his case, it's not. It's accurate. It is not a term to be used lightly. But in his case, it's completely justified. As someone who's will always make excuses for us for tyrants around the world, who's a complete Trump toady, and so on. So sickening individual, but he's not absolutely wrong. He's not wrong on absolutely everything. For example, on men who pretend to be women and so on, and lying, because of course there is such a thing as an objective reality. The interview at the beginning, I thought it was largely bogus, Daniil Antonov. But you know, not every word of it is false. Can the devil speak true? Yes, he is. So Putin went into a 30-minute monologue about the history of Russia's foundation in 965, if I'm not mistaken. Obviously founded kind of by the Vikings, with Novgorod as the capital, but obviously Russia was a tiny, tiny fraction of its current territory. I mean, there are people who view Kiev as the cradle of Russia, and so forth. And anyway, he then went on to say that Ukraine is a fictive country. It was really a figment of Stalin's imaginings, and there was no such Ukraine, and blah, blah, blah. And certain eastern and southern Ukraine was fully Russian, and so forth. Now, much of this is bogus. Now, it is true that the Ukraine didn't emerge as a distinct nation until the late Middle Ages. But Putin's contention that therefore any nation that's emerged after that point isn't real. So the USA doesn't exist, Canada doesn't exist, virtually every country in sub-Saharan Africa, therefore is fictitious as well. Virtually every Latin American country, so many Asian countries, quite a few European countries, blah, blah, blah. It really is preposterous. Every nation's got to begin sometime. There are no artificial nations. All nations are man-made. No made nations are really natural. Nations have a lifespan. Like laws, they're born, they live, they die. The nations we know today, some of them won't exist at some point, a century from now, a millennium from now. So it's preposterous to think that there are any eternal nations. Every nation must have an originary. You can trace any nation back to some point when it didn't exist. And okay, perhaps some have existed from time immemorial, you know, like Persia, Egypt. These are some of the oldest nations in the world. So, and even though Russia has existed, the great majority of its territory was not part of Russia until, say, the 18th century, late 18th century. And you know, even southern Ukraine, well, you know, Crimea was only part of Russia for about 150, well, maybe about 180 years. Okay, so, and then it was not part of Russia for a further 70 years until the invasion of 2014. And it's passed through many hands, been part of the Ottoman Empire, it's been an independent Tatar country, been part of the Byzantine Empire, the Roman Empire, am I missing a few, and so on. So what else did Putin say? So it was largely just trying to excuse this invasion. And he's got two modes, Tucker Carlson, sycophancy and savagery. If it's someone he doesn't agree with, he will be ultra aggressive at that person, constantly rooting and interrupting that person, expectorating insults, just being as demeaning as possible, scornful in his tone and his facial expression. But here, speaking to one of the cruelest tyrants on earth, he was entirely fawning. Just softball questions. It really wasn't journalism. It was just expediting this propaganda, these flagrant falsehoods, which are attempting to justify an illegal war of unprovoked aggression against Ukraine. He was a disgrace to those who call themselves journalists. And then Tucker Carlson told another blatant lie, claiming that no Western journalist had attempted to interview Putin since the war began. Well, he has tried to. Other Western journalists, many news organizations have asked several times, the BBC, many of the major American television networks have asked several times since the war began, and they've always been rebuffed because they know that he'll be asked worthwhile questions. Now, I don't know, did Putin even get the questions agreed in advance? Did they have any editorial control? I don't know. They scarcely needed to, because they knew that Carlson was going to give them a very easy ride. The narrative Carlson's been pushing is that Ukraine is not a democracy, is completely corrupt, the United States shouldn't back them up, and so on. Now, there is a case for isolationism, all the rest of it, but he doesn't actually have to go along with these lies and to have them go unchallenged. And he's someone who's known for propagating falsehoods, Tucker Carlson, about the January the 6th riots, about coronavirus, about Obama's birth, about how much the popular vote Trump got in 2016, about the outcome of the 2020 election. So he's someone who relentlessly publicizes blatant lies and doesn't publicize them, tells them himself. And there's obviously evidence that he actually doesn't believe that he knows Trump lost 2020, but he's telling that lie anyway. So another thing about Carlson is he's an ignoramus. As far as I know, he's never even been to Russia. And okay, you could be well informed even about Russia without having been there. But I don't think he knows anything about Russia. There's no evidence of that from this interview, or speaks a single word of the Russian language. And then he poses as champion of free speech. Well, but he didn't put it to Putin. But what about all the journalists you've jailed? You people can be punished by up to 25 years in prison in Russia for telling the truth, for calling the war a war. Now, I know there are problems around free speech in the United States, but it's nothing even remotely approaching that level of oppression which you see in Russia. Obviously, Putin's been waging a war on journalists. I mean, a literal war, where they get killed as well, Russian journalists, from Mrs. Politkovskaya since her other Russian journalists murdered at home and abroad, and the Russian media virtually all directly or indirectly owned by the state, independent Russian media having to go abroad, the BBC has had to withdraw its Russian staff, and so on. Anyway, so I mean, I'm not completely against having an interview with Putin, but that you ought to ask him the tough questions and just not give him a free ride like that. So what else was said in that? Okay, but there's no doubt that Putin's actually quite sincere what he says about Russian history, and he was exercised. You could see the emotion on his face. So sometimes you see the real Putin. Often he seems to be wearing a mask. But Carlson's apologia for the interview is he was offering Americans an opportunity to understand the Russian perspective on this conflict. And the United States is fueling the conflict and obviously a jeopardizing American peace, because there's a chance it might actually drag America into the war. All right, so it's worthwhile hearing what other people have to say, but you ought to challenge some of these contentious and in some cases blatantly bogus claims by the other side. Putin saying that the West and Ukraine, they started the Donbass conflict of 2014. Well, actually, Russia invaded Ukraine and not the other way around. But the Euromaidan demonstrations that toppled Viktor Yanukovych in 2014 were orchestrated by Westerners. Now, that one might not be completely false. There is some evidence that some of the demonstrators were trained in Poland by the CIA. I'm not saying that's proven, but there's some evidence to it, which is not inconclusive, and so on. So, you know, the United States definitely had favorite politicians in Ukraine, whom they wanted to see take over, and didn't want someone that they perceived as a Putin marionette being in charge there. Oh, yeah, I apologize for my mistake in my earlier video. I said Vitaly Klitschko, mayor of Kyiv, of course, is Vladimir Klitschko. Vitaly's his younger brother, who's also in politics. Anyway, so Putin said that U.S. Secretary of State James Baker had vowed in 1990 that NATO wouldn't move a single inch to the east. However, it's disputed that was said, and it certainly wasn't in any treaty. So therefore, it's not binding. It's a mere puff. And the United States cannot speak for NATO. NATO is now, 27 members? Back then it was about a dozen members. But since 1990, NATO's admitted quite a few countries. Is it 13 countries now to the east of Germany? So there are many other things that were said. Putin claimed that the then British Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, prevented Ukraine from making peace in 2022. Well, of course, he couldn't do so. He might say fight on, but it's up to Ukraine whether they negotiate or not. And Putin was again treating Ukraine as a non-country, and Carlson saying, well, why don't you simply sort it out with Putin? Putin simply sort it out with Joe Biden. And you and the US president agree that's it, because obviously if US military is completely cut off, European NATO countries are just not going to give enough and that they'll collapse or whatever, which they're actually quite close to doing, even though the Biden wants to still arm and fund Ukraine. Putin didn't even claim to have attempted to contact Biden, as you said, but really said there's nothing to discuss. It's so easy. And then Putin made the laughable claim that Russia had no wish to attack any NATO territory. Yeah, right. A bit like in February 2022, they said, no, we've got no intention of attacking Ukraine. Our massive military buildup on Ukraine's borders, which is unprecedented, is no threat to anyone. Just lie after lie after lie told and things like that. But Carlson is either so stupid or else so craven that he refused to call Putin out on these obvious lies. Then Putin also lambasted Zelensky for signing a decree in October 2022 banning peace talks. So Putin then made the incredible claim that Russo-Ukrainian relations will heal. Well, they probably will heal if Putin is overthrown, killed, Russia pays reparations and so forth, and a long time passes. But, you know, there's an awful lot of agony. And to think that before Putin came along, relations very cordial. Even after the Soviet era, in the late 90s, there was no problem at all. There were Russian military bases in Crimea, but actually nobody in Ukraine objected to that. Russian had official status in Crimea and several eastern regions. Almost nobody in Ukraine was talking about joining even the EU, never mind NATO. And they had a healthy cooperative relationship. It's Putin made it way worse because he couldn't abide freedom in Ukraine where they have real elections and independent courts and free media and so on, and that they didn't necessarily want to be a Russia's lackey and wanted to eventually reestablish their sovereignty by saying, Russian military, you're eventually going to have to go. We actually don't have to keep you here forever. You know, that agreement to let you stay in the Black Sea base, that's going to expire after a quarter of a century, and we might not renew it. And so on. So now Putin gave the clearest indication yet that he really arrests Westerners simply as bargaining chips. He gives them very long jail sentences in inhumane conditions simply because he wishes to exchange them for people. So the American journalist Evan Gershkovich, that might be set free if Germany releases someone whom Putin called a Russian patriot, claiming that this man eliminated a bandit. In Russia, they say bandit, but we'd probably say gangster. In Germany in 2019. So Putin didn't name this chap, but he was presumably alluding to Vadim Krasikov, who also goes by an alias, who was given a false passport by the Russians and blah, blah, blah. I mean, proof positive, if it were needed, that Putin has a policy of murdering dissidents abroad. So this is international terrorism. Oh, I'll never attack a NATO country. Well, I mean, you have on many occasions by murdering people in them. And it's true that the person he murdered was actually a Georgian citizen. Nevertheless, that act of violence took place in a NATO country. And okay, you got your man, but you could easily have accidentally killed someone who wasn't that guy, was a German citizen, and so forth. So that's another reason not to go to Russia, because even if Putin's gang know you're totally innocent, they might throw you in the slammer anyway, simply because they want to exchange you. I mentioned some of the remarks it made about Boris Johnson. Well, I mean, you could, someone said you could speak to him with civility. All right, you can be courteous, but still firm. You don't have to be screaming or swearing or something like that. But Carlson does not treat guests or liberal left or even moderate Republicans that way. If he's against them, he will be extremely scornful, skeptical, scathing, just extraordinarily hostile and discourteous. So it really was nauseating to see him being Putin's poodle like that. People say being effectively the Lord Haw-Haw for the Putin regime. Anyway, Putin then purports to believe the United States can prevail on Germany to set free this murderer and repatriate him to Germany if Evan Gershkovich is released. So Putin didn't really claim that Gershkovich was a spy, and he's obviously in jail for espionage. Anyway, what else is there? So the Russian state media was extraordinarily delighted about this. They were just elated, and it was covered effusively and extensively on almost every channel. They think it definitely played into the propaganda narrative, a real coup for them. I don't think Russian state media would be giving Biden such an easy ride. The European Union said they might even sanction Carlson for deliberately disseminating this propaganda attempting to justify the illegal war. So thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon and donate on PayPal. Goodbye.